This is Biasbender, and I'm Kayla Stokes. Welcome to the next episode of this podcast where we are exploring the lives of Black women from the past and the present in order to imagine the future. This week's episode is about Magnolia Cox and the National Spelling Bee. Hello, everyone. It's been a while. I have been, figuring out some life stuff and trying to enjoy the summer, to be honest. So thanks for waiting while I focused on other things for a minute. I think it's really important for this podcast to be something that comes out of genuine curiosity and joy, so I'm letting myself take a break when I need to. I love the idea of checking in with you like I would with a friend. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I have seasons of life where the check-ins are a little less frequent for whatever reason. But I so value being able to hop back in where we left off. Anyway, I'm so glad that you're listening and that I can share with you another story that I came across recently. So, as you might have heard, there was a new winner of the National Spelling Bee a couple of weeks ago. 14-year-old Zaila Avant-Garde won the 93rd Scripps National Spelling Bee, and I feel like the internet was just giddy with her Black joy for a moment. First of all, her name is amazing. Second of all, she's multi-talented, and I love celebrating a happy ending, even when it sounds like her story is just the beginning. And third of all, her story left me in amazement that she is the first African American to win this spelling bee. Like, it's 2021. I kind of thought there must have been someone before her time that took the title, but I guess not. Well, after I clicked around a bunch, I found that while Zaila was the first winner, she wasn't the first African-American girl to end up in the finals of this famous event. It turns out that Zaila is standing on the shoulders of another young woman who also had a real talent for spelling. And I want to talk about her story today. So, let's get to it. So I'm not sure about the details of Magnolia's childhood, but I do know that she grew up in Akron, Ohio, and by the time she became a teenager, she was incredibly smart and had an IQ through the roof. And when I say teenager, I really mean she had just become a teenager by the time she was at the top of her game. At the age of 13, Magnolia found herself at the Akron Armory competing in the Akron Spelling Bee. The year was 1936, and she was more than ready to take on her competitors. The competition took 2.5 hours, and throughout the experience, Magnolia spelled her butt off. She swept the competition, beating out 50 other students, and became the first Black kid to win the Bee. And in doing so, she became an instant local celebrity amongst her community. Black folks from Akron swelled up with pride to know that they could be proud to support such a talented eighth grader as she continued on to the next big stage. So, from the Akron Spelling Bee, Magnolia walked away with a $25 prize, a trip to Washington, D.C., and the right to compete in the 12th Scripps National Spelling Bee. But before we talk more about what that next step of her experience was like, I thought it would be a good idea to chat a little about where the National Spelling Bee thing even came from. I did a little digging, and it turns out that the idea of a National Spelling Bee first popped up in 1908. This first event was put together by the National Education Association. Before this first national bee, there were local bees all over the country, but nothing that culminated in a whole nationwide competition. And it sounds like after that first bee, the idea was kind of put to rest for quite a few years, for whatever reasons. But in 1925, the Louisville Courier-Journal invited other newspapers across the country to come together to host a national spelling bee in Washington, D.C. At first, I was thinking, well, why would a newspaper want to host a spelling bee? And then I had a oh-duh moment thinking, well, newspapers are literally just a bunch of words on the page. So sponsoring a literacy-related event ties in very nicely to their whole premise. Anyway, the first competition garnered over 2 million submissions from students below high school age at the local level, and eventually 9 students were selected to compete in DC. Why 9? Well, each student represented one of the 9 newspapers that participated in the event. It turns out that the very first winner was an 11-year-old boy from Louisville named Frank Neuhauser. He won by spelling the word gladiolus? I think it's gladiolus. I hope it's gladiolus. And he walked away with a hefty $500 prize. And yeah, that's a bit of the rundown of where the National Spelling Bee came from. Of course, since then, it has grown and grown and grown and grown. It's now broadcast on ESPN and sponsored by Merriam-Webster, and I'm sure there are a bunch of new rules and regulations as time has gone on, but the idea of encouraging literacy and spelling is still at the organization's core. So, while I personally would want to curl up into a ball and hide at the thought of having to spell words out loud in front of other people, there continues to be a strong line of students who keep wanting to participate in this now American classic event. All right, but back to Magnolia and her experience with the National Bee in 1936. So, as I was saying, she had just won the Akron Spelling Bee and she was ready to keep going. Her community was behind her 100% and they celebrated every step of her journey towards DC. In fact, it sounds like the whole city came out to send her on her way. A military band played her off and thousands of well-wishers gathered at the Union Depot while Magnolia, her mother, Mrs. Alberta Keys, her teacher, Miss Cornelia Grieve, and Beacon Journal reporter Mabel Norris boarded the train. Magnolia was a quiet, shy girl, but she's quoted as saying, "This is the most fun I've ever had in my life," as she stepped onto the train, headed to DC. Unfortunately, not everyone was as supportive as her own community. The difference in treatment began on the train itself. When they rolled into Maryland, Magnolia and her mother could no longer stay in their seats with the rest of the passengers. They were made to move to the black-only car. Of course. And while Magnolia didn't let this slight faze her, I'm sure it must have stung, even as a kid. I wish I could say, oh, that was the big bummer moment for Magnolia and her mom, but that wasn't the case. DC was a segregated city, so every step of the way, they were treated as second-class citizens. They had to stay with a local black surgeon in his home instead of in a hotel like the other families. They had to climb a back stairwell instead of using the main elevator once they arrived at the Bee's banquet. And once they wanted to eat at the banquet with everyone, they were actually seated at a separate table away from the rest of the spellers. And even after all of this discrimination, Magnolia held her head high and continued on to what she traveled all the way to DC for, the competition. She, of course, held her own against all of the other spellers. She knew that she was ready because she memorized all 10,000 words that were approved for competition that year. I'm telling you, her brain must have been a sponge or something because it was full of words, and she knew how to spell every single one of them. Now, it sounds like no one on the judge's side of things would admit to foul play, but something happened that derailed Magnolia's performance at the Bee. She was presented with a word that threw her off. The word was nemesis, with a capital N. Not only was this word not one of the 10,000 she had memorized, but it appeared to be a proper noun, which was not regulation. The reporter who traveled with Magnolia, Mabel Norris, outwardly protested this word's usage at the time, but the judges insisted that the word was an appropriate challenge for the Bee. Magnolia misspelled the word. She wasn't prepared for it, and the all-white and all-male judge panel didn't care. They continued on with the competition, leaving Magnolia behind so that they could award other white children with higher placements. But Magnolia finished proudly in fifth place and took home a $75 prize. And when she returned to Akron, she was a hero, regardless of her results. She represented her hometown well, and everyone believed in her bright future. And at this point in the story, I'm torn with how to express what ended up happening in her life. Magnolia was projected to be a brainiac who could take over any industry or follow any number of professional pursuits. But she was unable to attend college because she didn't have the means to secure enough money. Scholarships and grants didn't end up flowing her way like some people assumed they would. She was still a young Black student who faced a lot of discrimination. It didn't matter that she was incredibly smart and ready to learn. She ended up marrying, having a son, and working as a domestic employee for a doctor. And I don't know how she felt about that. On the one hand, it could be easy to assume that she wanted more or that she felt like her potential was wasted, but I don't want to minimize the experience she did end up having as being not good enough or not a worthy life. I wish I could ask her what she thought of it all, but I can't. So I'm left thinking that if she wanted a different path for herself, it was a real shame that her options were cut short. Magnolia passed away at the age of 53 in 1976. I'm sure her life and how she saw the world must have been influenced by her 13th year. She saw how much power she had in her mind, and she also saw how our country wasn't ready for it. And that breaks my heart. I'm no nationally ranked speller, but I do know what it feels like to want to do something big with my mind, and I know how crushing it can be to be belittled or underestimated. So I'm really glad that I get to honor Magnolia and her story because she, along with every other Black girl, deserves that space. And that's what I learned about Magnolia Cox and her National Spelling Bee journey. It's not the happiest of endings, I know, but over 80-something years later, we have Zaila Avant-Garde, who went on to actually win the Scripps National Spelling Bee this year. I think I just don't want that victory to be in vain. Now I know that we've waited a long time for this victory, and I hope that maybe we've learned some lessons between Magnolia and Zaila. I hope that we can support not only the Black kids we see as, quote, having potential, but all the Black kids. I think we should all feel like we can do anything, because that's the truth. We can, and we will. All right, I think I'm going to sign off here. I'm going to ease back into these podcasts, and I feel like this length of episode is a nice way to get back into it. It's so nice to be back with you all, and I can't believe we're coming up on a year of this podcast buzzing around the internet. Kind of cool, huh? Anyway, that's all I have this week. I will catch you next time, and until then, thank you so much for listening. I used the following sources to research this week's episode. Akron Beacon Journal's article, 1936, Akron Spelling Bee Champ Blazed Trail for 2021 National Winner by Mark J. Price. News 5 Cleveland's article, Remembering the 1936 National Spelling Bee and How Hatred Eliminated a Bright Young Girl from Akron by Rob Powers and Cameron Justice. Black Information Network's article, BIN Explains the Story of Magnolia Cox by Ryan Shepherd. The Washington Post's article, Spelling Bee Champ Zaila Avant-Garde was inspired by a Black girl named Magnolia Cox. This is Why, by April White. The Scripps National Spelling Bee's website. And Britannica's article on the National Spelling Bee by John M. Cunningham. This podcast is supported in part by a 4 Culture ARC Artists Fellowship and original music, as always, by Adam Westerman.